KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy. Temperature still at 27 degrees. We look for some areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies today and a high near 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department today reports an Adair County woman was arrested Wednesday afternoon on a Union County warrant. 21-year-old Brianna Lawson of Stewart was arrested on the warrant for violation of probation on an original possession of a controlled substance charge. Lawson was being held in the Adams County Jail while waiting a bond hearing. A man and woman were taken into custody on separate drug charges this week in Shenandoah. 37-year-old Carly Jean Glidden of Shenandoah was arrested Wednesday at around 2 a.m. for possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia. Glidden was found in the middle of the road in the 500 block of West Lowell Avenue and was questioned before being taken into custody. She was transported then to the Page County Jail and held on a $1,300 bond. And a traffic stop at around 10 a.m. Tuesday in Shenandoah resulted in the arrest of 39-year-old Donald Pierce from Willow Springs, Missouri. He was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and released from custody after receiving a court date. The driver of an SUV was cited following a collision Wednesday morning in Red Oak, but no one was injured. Red Oak police cited 27-year-old Andrea T. Clay of Red Oak for having no valid driver's license. Following the accident that happened at around 7:37 a.m. on North 6th Street and Hillcrest Drive in Red Oak, authorities said a 2016 Chevy pickup driven by 65-year-old Kenneth Hammond of Red Oak was traveling west on Hillcrest Drive and approaching the intersection with North 6th Street when his vehicle was hit on the driver's side by Clay's 2009 Jeep Compass. Police say Clay was driving too fast for the snow and ice road conditions, but citations were not issued for the accident itself because of the road conditions. The collision caused a total of $5,000 damage. Three separate accidents took place over the past week in Union County with a total of two injuries reported. The Union County Sheriff's Office said 22-year-old Madison Selvey of Creston was transported to the Greater Regional Hospital in Creston after the 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee she was driving went off the edge of the road northbound on Highway 25 at around 1:45 p.m. on Tuesday. Selvey tried to bring the SUV back onto the pavement but then lost control. The vehicle entered the east ditch where it rolled over and landed on its top. Selvey had to be extricated from her vehicle before being transported by ambulance to the hospital. The Jeep sustained about $5,000 damage. On January 21st, 18-year-old Jesse Dalen Vicker of Creston was transported by private vehicle to the hospital in Creston after the pickup she was driving went out of control when it hit a patch of ice on 205th Street in Union County. The pickup entered the north ditch, rolled over, and came to rest upright. A farm fence owned by Thane Glenn of Creston sustained $300 damage during the accident. The pickup truck, valued at $7,500, was declared a total loss. And on January 20th, 24-year-old Alexis Ann Owens of Red Oak was traveling west on Highway 3 in Union County at around 8 a.m. on that date. When she looked down to see how fast she was going, when she looked back up, she saw a 2019 Chevy Silverado pickup driven by 27-year-old Miles Promise of Urbandale was slowing down for a vehicle in front of him that was in the process of turning off of Highway 3. Owens' Ford SUV hit Prom's pickup in the rear, causing a total of $6,500 damage, but there were no injuries reported. Neighboring residents and other people opposed to the construction of a chicken confinement facility in Pottawatomie County filled a meeting at a church and roundly criticized the plan as better suited to an industrial park. Eight barns will be built on the property that sits about a mile north of Mineola, and plans are to raise 200,000 or more chickens there every 8 weeks. Last week, the Pottawatomie County Board of Supervisors voted to recommend that the state deny approval. The opponents' concerns aired Monday's meeting in Mineola included the potential smell, the impact on the water table, and the extra road traffic. Elsewhere in the news, Polaris Industries said they plan to close their plant in western South Dakota and move the work to Iowa. The plant in Spearfish, South Dakota, specializes in painting parts for Indian motorcycles. The Minneapolis-based Polaris will consolidate the paint operations in Spirit Lake, home of the Indian motorcycle. Polaris spokeswoman Jessica Rogers says it will cut down on logistics costs and lead times to better serve customers. The company said 33 Spearfish employees will have the opportunity to transfer to available positions at other Polaris facilities. The Cass County Soil and Water Conservation District reports applications are currently being accepted from producers who are interested in converting their row crop acres back to pasture or hayland. The Iowa Financial Incentive Program will pay up to 50% of the eligible or estimated cost, whichever is less, to help install the conversion practice. Proposed acres must have been row cropped in 3 out of the last 5 years in order to be eligible for the sign-up. Interested producers must make an application to the Cass County Soil and Water Conservation District by no later than March 10th. Those applications, by the way, will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. If you'd like more information, call the district office here in Atlantic at 712-243-3180, extension 3, or stop by at 503 West 7th Street in Atlantic. Both of Iowa's U.S. Senators, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, and the first woman to serve as Speaker of the Iowa House attended Wednesday's ceremonial signing of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, or USMCA. State Representative Linda Oppmeyer, a Republican from Clear Lake, said it was important to modernize and rebalance the North American Free Trade Agreement.
There were things in there that just didn't work the way perhaps they did when it was originally written. Certainly things have changed in the world.
The USMCA's impact in Iowa exporters will be significant, according to Oppmeyer.
Certainly it's not only ag products, although we do about $6.6 billion worth of trade with Canada and Mexico, and they're our biggest trading partners, but it's ag products, it is machinery, it's ethanol, it's processed foods. They buy a lot of transportation equipment from us.
Oppmeyer stepped down as House Speaker earlier this month, and since there were no votes in the House this week, she made the trip to D.C. Oppmeyer was at the White House Tuesday as well for President Trump's meeting with Israel's Prime Minister and the unveiling of a Middle East peace plan.
Anytime you can see two of the world leaders talking about peace in the East Room of the White House, that's kind of a special event.
And Oppmeyer said she's no foreign policy expert, but she said the Trump administration worked hard on a laudable goal to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Oppmeyer said she hopes for more opportunities to represent the people of Iowa at significant events outside of the state in her last year in the legislature.
These are just moments in history, in my opinion. I absolutely enjoy representing Iowa anywhere I have that opportunity.
For the third straight year, Iowa ranks among the very worst states in the nation for its animal welfare laws. The Animal Legal Defense Fund places Iowa 49th in its latest report, ahead only of Mississippi. Colin Grace, director of legal initiatives for the Animal Rescue League of Iowa, says a bill pending before Iowa lawmakers would bring about significant and much-needed changes, especially when dealing with animal hoarding cases.
It does a lot of excellent things to improve the definitions of animal cruelty crimes towards companion animals. It enhances penalties, and it requires mental health evaluation and treatment. That's important because there is a proven link between cruelty and violence towards animals and cruelty and violence towards humans.
And that's why he says the FBI now tracks all such animal-related crimes. Iowa's existing rules on animal neglect are too vague, Grace argues. All the proposed legislation, known as House File 737, would lay out some specifics.
What HF 737 does is require that the living space be sanitary and free of excessive waste, requires that the animals are getting a nutritionally appropriate quality and quantity of food, as well as potable water.
The bill passed in the Iowa House last year by a 96-0 vote, but stalled in the Senate. Gray says his organization is working to educate legislators about the bill's contents.
We've heard that there are some senators who are worried that this bill might unduly affect agricultural interests. I think this is a misplaced fear because our bill does not concern livestock animals and only affects the companion animals, dogs and cats, that share our home.
Iowa had a record number of animal rescue cases in 2019, which ARL officials say proves Iowa's animals cannot wait another year for better protections. And finally, in state news, about $20 million separates the public school funding plans Republicans in the Iowa House and Senate are proposing. Senate Republican leader, Majority Leader Jack Whitfer of Ankeny favors an increase of just over 2% in general state spending on K-12 public schools.
This is an amount that we feel allows us enough money to continue to fund our other priorities as well, whether that's state troopers, mental health, health care issues. We want to make sure that fits in the larger budget picture.
House Republicans have joined Republican Governor Kim Reynolds in calling for a 2.5% increase in per-student state funding. Democrats like Representative Ross Smith of Waterloo said schools really need more than 2.5%, roughly, or roughly $100 million in boost.
I don't think it really digs our schools out of the hole that we need, understanding that we've dug a trench and we're slowly filling it in like a teaspoon at a time, and that's not going to get us to where we need to be.
Republicans control a majority of the seats in the House and Senate, so GOP leaders will likely negotiate a school funding deal in the next couple of weeks. The decision is for general state aid for the school year that begins next fall. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Henson reporting.